Happy Friday! It is time on this Friday at 4:05 to enter Entertainment Court with Richard Krause.
Order in the Entertainment Court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
And the co-jurors are myself, Fresh Meat Aaron, the big chair, and producer Tony Tedesco.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right.
Judge, this is my first time doing one of these, so take it easy on me.
Judge Krause, what's our first case?
Judge Krause, what's our first case?
Here are the details of case number one. Last week, it was reported that because of the possibility of the SAG-AFTRA strike stretching on for months, Warner Brothers is strongly considering bumping Dune Part 2 from November 2023 to sometime in 2024. Also possibly affected are Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom and the remake of The Color Purple. That means there will potentially be several big holes in the theatrical landscape at the end of the year, typically a prime time for people to get out and see movies. The studios are thinking of moving these movies because, as it is now, SAG does not allow its members to promote their movies while they're on strike. That means no interviews, no red carpets, and no junkets. They clearly feel that the presence of a chatty movie star on late-night TV is a make-or-break proposition, so they're hedging their bets. So my question is, are the studios justified to be willy-nilly yanking movies from the schedule?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess, yeah. Whatever puts an end to the strike, you know what I mean? I don't know if making people suffer more is really going to end the strike. So, yeah, I mean, studios are going to be studios. I support the actors and the writers.
I'm with you. I support the writers, the actors. I don't think the movie studios should just pull movies from theaters or not put movies in theaters. What about the theaters that are going to lose money? What about all the people that work in theaters that are going to lose money? Like, how many people are going to be affected by this? And this is not me railing against a strike, but railing against the big wealthy movie companies. No, you don't have actors to go present your movies for you? Then find another way. Spend extra money on trailers. Find other ways to advertise your movies and put them in theaters on time when they're scheduled to go so that I can go catch, you know, the newest feature come next summer.
Here's my verdict. I do think celebrity culture has a certain cachet when it comes to selling a movie. Playing games with Jimmy Fallon on late night TV or doing junket interviews for social media are a big part of promotion, and with no stars available to promote movies, it might make them a harder sell. But perhaps it's time that the studios should get creative and figure out new ways to sell their films. Because by pulling the movies, the studios aren't thinking of the larger theatrical ecosystem. Just a year and a half ago, theaters were in really bad shape. COVID caused many of them to be closed for extended periods of time to lay off staff and see streaming steal away part of their market share. Now, they've come back thanks to movies like Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Mission Impossible. But the studios seem determined to recall the pandemic by starving theaters of the kind of product they need to stay alive. The studios should be with the theaters. They are, after all, where we go to experience the magic of going to the movies. And that is my verdict.
All right, Judge, what's our next case?
Here's case number two. In a radical rebranding, Twitter owner Elon Musk has replaced Twitter's iconic bird logo with the letter X. The Twitter website now features the same logo, while the familiar bird is gone. Previously, Musk said he was bidding, quote, adieu to the Twitter brand and gradually all the birds. Twitter was founded in 2006 and has used its recognized blue bird emblem for way more than a decade now. The renaming could be seen as something of a brand rehaul for the company. Musk, in recent months, has repeatedly warned that Twitter, facing steep losses in ad revenue, was on the edge of bankruptcy. So here's my question. Is changing Twitter's name to X an exciting idea or an exceptional waste of time?
It's only going to be exciting if they make that X purple and call it the artist formerly known as Twitter. Like, I don't understand why he thinks this is going to work. You cannot change people's habits. And Twitter's branding has actually been really compelling for most people. We go from A, the bird, to tweeting, which is like, what's it, what are they going to call it now? Xing?
Yeah,
like, I don't know. And why X?
Your tweets are X's.
Yeah,
I got too
why?
Many of them. I've already got
enough X's. Yeah. You're right. I don't need more. No, it's, I just don't know how this is going to work. I don't think it's genius at all. And I just feel like he's a buffoon trying to get us, as we spoke about earlier this week, trying to just get us to talk about him for every little change he makes. And he's going to drive this platform into the ground if he's not careful.
I already flew the coop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it.
You all should too, Judge Krause.
Flew the coop. I got it. Judge Krause.
Here's my verdict. This rebranding is absolutely baffling to me. Companies work for years to create brands that resonate with the public. Twitter did that. They have brand recognition, and the terms tweet and retweet have become common in everyday conversation. Twitter did what every company tries to do, but the determination of Elon Musk to own the new MySpace continues unabated. It's curious why Musk would spend $44 billion to buy Twitter and then get rid of its most recognizable assets, its name and its logo. Why would he not just start his own social media platform? I think people are tiring of the drama surrounding Twitter. The massive changes don't enhance the experience. People simply want a place to get moderated information and share info. And just as most people still call the Rogers Center the Sky Dome, I predict most people will not be using the name X to refer to the platform formerly known as Twitter, and that X may soon become an X social media platform for many people. And that's my verdict.
What's our next case, Judge?
Here's case number 3. The Barbie film shattered expectations, raking in a record-breaking $162 million domestically and $344 million worldwide, and marking the best box office performance since the COVID-19 pandemic began. Barbie faced stiff competition in theaters as it opened against Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, which cast Cillian Murphy as the scientist who changed the world with the invention of the atomic bomb. Nonetheless, the cast and crew of both movies made it a healthy competition by hyping up the other movie, and fans went on a Barbenheimer overdrive, watching the movies as a double bill. Both movies succeeded, and their combined box office total added up to the fourth largest weekend in movie history. So my question is, what did we learn last weekend from the success of Barbie and Oppenheimer?
I checked out Elemental 3D with my kid. We loved it. Check it out. It's a great film. That's what I learned.
I think people like new, fresh ideas, and that's what Oppenheimer and Barbie sort of did. So let's see what Judge Krause thinks.
Here's my verdict. I think the clear message that the overwhelming success of these two movies sent us is that audiences will come out if you offer them something new, something that engages them. For a decade, we've been fed a steady diet of superheroes, Jedis, reboots, reimaginings, and movies with Roman numerals in their titles. And I think our appetite for that has diminished. We want good stories, well told, not multiverse movies where you have to do your homework and read a Wikipedia page before you buy your ticket just to be able to figure out what's going on. Superheroes and multiverses aren't going anywhere anytime soon, but Barbie and Oppenheimer brought excitement back to theaters. We haven't seen this level of enthusiasm for Marvel, DC, or Star Wars for a long time. What were once disruptors in the business, the franchises, the cinematic universes, have suddenly become old hat. Some of them will still make bank at the theaters, but as B.B. King sang, the thrill is gone. When we look back at 2023, the movies from a business perspective we'll be talking about will be Barbie, Oppenheimer, Megan, Cocaine Bear, and The Sound of Freedom. Movies that brought excitement back to theaters with fresh stories and big box office. And that should send a message to Hollywood. Playing it safe with the same old stories just doesn't cut it anymore. And that is my verdict.